All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Daily Faceoff podcast comes courtesy of the Nation Network. Here's your host, Brock Segan, with Dylan D. Berthium and Michael Beebs Bondi.
Welcome into Season 9, Episode 26 of the DFO Fantasy Podcast, presented to you by our friends at Betway. If you're going to place a bet on Betway. Must be 19 years of old or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. I'm your host, Brock Segan. With me, as always, we've got Dylan D. Berthium, Michael Beebs Bondi. Fellas, it's been a little bit since we last did an episode. Hope you guys both had a terrific holiday season. Happy New Year's to both of you as well. D, you're back in Toronto, which means you have a proper mic. You no longer sound like you are underwater. So welcome back, kid.
True. Thanks for having me. New Year, same pod. Ready to get back into it and talk about some fringe players in terms of fantasy relevance. Super duper excited to be here, bro.
Jesus, just bringing so much energy to the podcast. Michael Beebs Bondi, you got a little bit more fire than that.
Absolutely. Boys, did you notice something different about me when I got on the pod today? It's probably that I'm a champion now. I just won our fantasy football league, so I'm on top of the world with the two fellas here. So I'm just going to bring it up every single episode going forward because, you know, that's just me. But no, I'm doing good. Survived Christmas, absolutely drowned myself in gravy, and here we are.
I've been dealing with this for a week, Brock. That's why I have no more will to live or pod left.
I do have to admit, D is in two leagues that I won, so he has to hear double the amount. One guy in our league actually smashed the trophy after I won that one. It was very close, but he was not happy with me.
Are you won? I had no idea you won.
Yeah, and I proceeded to walk around the party with a belt on because it was New Year's, a championship belt, but my trophy was smashed. So, but anyways, we're on top of the world. Really can't complain right now.
Congrats, dude. I had no idea.
Yeah. No, I wasn't sure if you knew, D. Just wanted to let you know. But Brock as well. And the collective audience. You got a champion around you.
Jesus. All right. Let's move into fantasy hockey because no one gives a shit about fantasy football around here. We are going to talk about waiver wire pickups. It's been a bit since we covered them. We've also got a pretty good amount of injuries going around in the league right now. I'm sure a lot of listeners out there have lost Kirill Kaprizov. Kind of unfortunate timing because right before the holiday break, we did say it would be a good time to buy low on Kirill Kaprizov. So if he did and now he's hurt, we do apologize for that, but we can't control that. So we've got a number of forwards, defensemen, and goalies to go through. We're not going to go through each one of them in depth because there's really no point. Like D said, they're fringe players. A lot of times it might even have a lot to do with position eligibility or their schedule that makes you, you know, decide between which guy you're going to pick up. So we're going to talk about everybody a little bit, talk about our favorites at different ownership tiers, and make our way through the list. Then we'll get to these weekend streamers as well to make sure you lock down a win to start the new year. So without further ado, let's get into the forwards. We'll start at the top here at 38% owned. Everybody we're going to talk about today from a forward perspective is under 40% owned, so they should be widely available in your leagues. First is Dawson Mercer, the New Jersey Devils. Mercer picked up 2 goals in his most recent game. He's been on a little bit of a heater as of late. The New Jersey Devils also shuffled their lines around recently, and Mercer landed on the second line with Nico Hischier, which is a pretty good spot for him. But in his last 10 games, Mercer's picked up 10.6 goals, 4 assists. Shot volume still leaves quite a bit to be desired, just 1.7 shots per game over that time. But the playing time has really been impressive for Dawson Mercer. In his last 5 games, he's averaging over 20 minutes a night, so you love to see that. D, you were big on Dawson Mercer coming into the season. We talked about how his biggest issue was going to be kind of where he slots into that lineup. Timo Meier's a little bit banged up right now, hasn't really played to his full potential. And now Mercer's playing 20 minutes a night, and he's landed in the top six. You got to like what you can get from him moving forward.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, like you said, he's moved up of late. Palat was out the other game as well, which opened up another spot in their top six. But even before that, that line was seeing a ton of ice. And, you know, thankfully we've seen his shot volume climb up a little bit as well. But, you know, just obvious as it was coming into the season, the talent he has and possesses for such a young player, that's what had us so excited coming into the year. You know, the big red flags were obviously all the additions they made around him. Obviously Meier being last year, but then signing to Foley in the offseason. But Mercer's, you know, still finding a way to get that premier ice time, and that should certainly continue in the short term, so long as obviously Meyer's sideline. I'm not sure how long Palat will be out either. But like I said, even when both of those guys were healthy and in the lineup, that third line was seeing a ton of ice time. So he's still going to have a hard time fighting his way up to that top power play unit. But, if he keeps producing like he has over the last few games, it should only be a matter of time, because he's really just letting his talent and his hard work starting to show for itself.
Yeah, this is absolutely kind of just everything coming out in the wash. This is what we were excited about, certainly what D was excited about going into the year, and we're starting to see it happen now. Brock, like you mentioned, 10 points in his last 10 games. Obviously, an inflated shooting percentage helps out a lot. But until he gets that power play one time, there's a couple other names here that kind of intrigue me a bit more, I will admit that. So I think that Mercer being closer to 40% is pretty fair. I think that's good for Mercer. Maybe should be a little bit closer to 50, but definitely a name that you should keep an eye on going forward here. But I like some of the other names coming up. I won't lie.
Yeah, Rickard Rakell seems to be somebody that is in a bit of a better spot than Mercer. I think you can feel a little bit more confident in his spot in the lineup as well. But Rakell comes in at 37% owned. When he returned to the lineup, he was slotted back on the top line with Sidney Crosby and Jake Guentzel. And he's played extremely well since coming back. He was held pointless in the first game, but he's picked up a point in every single game since, aside from one. And he has at least another point so far tonight. But he's got 7 points, 3 goals, 4 assists, and 7 games since returning to the lineup. He's averaging over 19 minutes a night. He was recently bumped to the top power play unit as well. So Rickard Rakell certainly looks like somebody that can continue to really reap the benefits of playing on this top line with Crosby and Guentzel, because for pretty much the entire season thus far, Crosby and Guentzel have been dominant. I have a league where I own both of them, and it's just incredible. They go off pretty much every single night. The underlying metrics for the trio are absolutely outstanding as well. So, Beebs, you said that you'd probably prefer somebody who sees power play one time over Dawson Mercer. I'm assuming Rakell's that name for you.
Yeah, not probably. This is certainly for Double R out in Pittsburgh, and he's the name that I'm most intrigued by on this list. I will give him that award right away. As you mentioned, just been on fire since he came back, and someone whose yearly stats probably are making people just scoff at him when they look at him on the free agency. He only has 11 points in 24 games, but 7 points in his last 6, 4 of which are goals. As you mentioned, the ice time is right there. He's just 2 seconds off of averaging over 20 minutes of ice in those 6 games since returning, which is just insane to think that when he is, you know, fully back and healthy here, we could be getting a little bit more. But for someone you can grab off the wire right now in this position, as you mentioned, power play one, line one, it's all right there. He's getting the ice time. He had 17 shots in those 6 games. That's not too bad. That's on pace for about 240 across an 82 game span. So these are all numbers that we love to see. And it's a guy who's under 40%. So Rakell's shown us before that he deserves a roster spot in previous years. I think going into this year, he was being drafted top 100 in some leagues. So I think we are we're kind of seeing the it's halfway time and guys are doing what we thought they'd do part of the show. Do you like Raquel more than your boy Dawson though? If you had that choice, come free agency.
Yeah, I think it just depends on the format. I mean, obviously, and I know you guys would say the same, Dynasty and Keeper Leagues, I think Mercer has reestablished himself enough to where I'd sacrifice that roster spot in the short term to lock up Mercer. And, you know, in a couple Dynasty Keeper formats myself, and Mercer's production was off to such a slow start that he was hitting the waiver wire even in those formats. But you can't deny in terms of redraft leagues or even in banger leagues where Raquel traditionally offers more value, what he can bring to your team right now. And really interesting because it really has been a tale of two seasons for him on both sides of the injury. He had just 4 assists, no goals in his first 17 games before the injury. And then, as you said, point per game since he's come back. So really seems to have found a stride. When you see those sort of splits, it makes you think whether or not he might have been playing with something in the interim. Obviously, that long, prolonged drought they had on the power play early in the season plays into that as well, for sure. But yeah, back up with Crosby and Gensel. And to Brock's point, they've been so good this season that if someone is being featured there, especially someone who's able to shoot the puck on net as often as Raquel is, and like I said, chip in banger leagues as well, you gotta love the value he's giving you in redraft leagues. So redraft leagues and particular banger leagues, I'm definitely leaning Raquel's way, but Mercer for me at least has done enough in those dynasty keeper formats to warrant the roster spot over Raquel even in the short term.
I do believe you got him in our dynasty league too, right, D? Mercer?
Correct. Scooped him in both formats, so happy.
Sneaky.
I think the big issue for Raquel in this season is not really a huge issue. Not like Evgeny Malkin is no good, but he played almost the entirety before getting hurt with Malkin and Riley Smith, and they just don't quite have the same underlying metrics that Crosby and Gensel have. So it's definitely been better for him playing up on that top line. Josh Norris is next on our list, 35% owned, strict center eligible for the Ottawa Senators. He has gone pointless in his last 4 games, but prior to that, he was on a heater. 7 goals, 3 assists, 10 points in his previous 10 games, 2.6 shots per game, playing around 19 minutes a night. So yeah, a little bit cold as of late, last week or so, but Josh Norris still playing in a top 6 in Ottawa that is still super talented. I'm not really sure what to make of this Ottawa Senators team. I say it on my DFS show all the time. I don't know if there's a more confusing team in the NHL because it seems like one game they look great and maybe it's like the team that we expected in the offseason, and then the next game, they just get absolutely smashed and you don't really know which team's going to show up on a night-to-night basis. It seems like they'll play well against the Maple Leafs, and that's about it. But I don't know what to make of this team. I like Josh Norris, the player, but they don't seem to really know what line he's going to play on. Like, him and Stislav kind of flip-flop spots. So to me, I'd rather Raquel and probably Mercer at this point, but I do like Josh Norris a little bit, especially if the Senators can kind of just find any sort of consistency moving forward. Norris is one of the names that you included on the list. What intrigues you most about him?
Just the high event nature of the Ottawa Senators. Like you said, they're a bit of an enigma and you don't really know what you're going to get to them on a night-for-night basis, but they tend to play up and down the rink. And particularly Norris, when he's with Tkachuk, like routinely average over 30 scoring chances per 60, both for and against. And that's just fantasy friendly. It's going to become a bit of a risk in leagues that account for plus minus. So you just got to take that into consideration. But with his usage, I love him whenever he's playing with Tkachuk. So in redraft leagues, he's kind of a guy that I'm not really hesitant to cut bait with if he gets moved off that line, because his upside certainly takes a hit. But he's always created a ton of offense. And like I said, it's always, basketball in terms of getting up and down the ice when the two of them are together. So whenever he's playing with Tkachuk, I'm happy to roll the dice. And, we saw the fruits of that labor when he went on that goal streak just prior to this cold stretch that he's been on.
Yeah, anyone who's getting 20 minutes on a team with just that talent around them, they're going to do well. And we saw it during that hot streak. Nothing stopped him from doing it again. It's kind of wild. I would have thought there would have been some correlation with the coaching change out in Ottawa there, but there really isn't. He just hit a cold streak. But I have to agree with you. Josh Norris probably third. Maybe I'd maybe take him above Mercer here. I think that'd be a toss up for me. It'd be how I'd be feeling that night. But one thing that I did want to point out here is just some of the names that you'd be picking him up over in that area, which is why I think I like Norris so much. It's names like Braden Schenn, I want him over that. Charlie Coyle started off hot, but I still want Josh Norris just in that power play one, line one. Anders Lee, averaging 14 minutes a game. Riley Smith. These are all guys that, in comparison, you're going to want Josh Norris in just for where he's at, the amount of minutes he's getting. He's averaging more than 5 minutes over most of these guys. Brock's boy David Perron is right there at the same amount of own percentage while averaging 14 minutes a night. So, yeah, that's right, Brock's boy. But yeah, so I think all three of these make fantastic selections if you're in that 30% range. But yeah, for me, I got to go Raquel, and then I'm going Norris, and then I'm going Mercer. But just to throw a little hoop in the bag.
One last player around 30% owned. Max Pacioretty made his season debut last night. He didn't do a whole heck of a lot. One shot attempt, no shots on goal, but played just under 12 minutes. Obviously, he has not played a lot of hockey. Last night was his sixth game in the NHL since April. I think it was April 22nd, 2022. So has not played a lot of hockey in the last year and a half. But when he did play in the brief span last year with the Carolina Hurricanes in early January, he was okay, right? He scored 3 goals in 5 games, and the shot volume was just as good as you would expect it to be for Max Pacioretty. 16 shots in 5 games, over 3 shots per game. That's what you come to expect from this guy. And he was doing that while averaging just, 13 and a half minutes a night. So I don't know where he settles into this lineup. I think most likely he lands somewhere on that second line, once he's back to full health. Anthony Mantha's played pretty well this year. Mantha and Connor McMichael seem to have a thing, so I think they would probably want to keep them together. Ovechkin, Tom Wilson kind of have their thing going, and then it leaves maybe Pacioretty and Strom to maybe figure it out, or Pacioretty and Kuznetsov to kind of figure it out in that middle six. I don't know how, what the minutes are going to be like at his age. I don't know if he's going to crack that top power play unit. It's a real wait and see for me. With Pacioretty, I do, in one of my leagues, I drafted him or picked him up right after the draft and kept him in the IR spot and held on to him. And I'm kind of interested to see what you get for him. Obviously, you get him off the wire, you're not paying anything for him. So I do think he's worth a flyer and see how he kind of hits the ground running. But I do think that there's hesitation. Like, I would much rather have Ricard Raquel. I think that that is a much safer situation than what you're getting with Pacioretty. So of the four names here around 35%, where does Pacioretty fall on the list for you?
Certainly, yeah, at the bottom of the list for me as well. Like you said, I think he's worth a flyer, but I'm, if I'm really in need of some dire short-term value, I'm going to look elsewhere. I'm going to look at one of the other three names we already talked about. And I'm just really interested to see if he's going to be able to get anywhere near the shot volume we're used to seeing out of him playing on a team that tends to get caved in at 5v5. Because you look at the teams that he's played on in recent years, I mean, even the short stint in Carolina last year with Vegas before that, and those Montreal teams he was on before, all could certainly carry their weight and regularly found themselves in the top third of 5v5 just in terms of possessing the puck, creating shot attempts, creating scoring chances, whereas the Capitals team that he's sliding into right now is bottom third in shot attempts per 60, bottom five, and of course, 4% at 5v5. So I think it's going to be a lot more difficult without a, really defined number one center or even just a solid two-way center to get him up and down the ice and get him those shooting opportunities. And obviously, I think it's going to take a while for him to get his ice time up as well. So I think it's a bit of a long-term ad for a guy that's into his middle 30s, which is a hard sell in redraft leagues. So I think if you're in dire need of help, he's worthy of a flyer and hopes they can get anywhere near kind of the peaks that he's shown in the past. But I do have my doubts about him getting anywhere near the shot volume that he's shown in the past. And that's not even taking into account, the back-to-back serious injuries that he's coming off of.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. If we're talking about the other three guys, I'm going to take the three dudes who are below the age of 30 and all have not had one, let alone two Achilles surgeries in the last 5 years. But that's what this guy's coming off of, 35 years old, two Achilles surgeries. It's going to be a slow process. It's someone who I think we're going to be talking about maybe a month down the road when he's finally back moving, when we're starting to see the ice time get closer to 15, 16 minutes. But like you said, it's going to be protected. It's going to be slow. He's not on a great team. Ovi's not even producing that well this year, as we've seen, as we've talked about. So what makes us think that a fresh off Achilles surgery Max Pacioretty is going to? I'm also kind of in Brock mode, though, where I threw a flyer at him at the beginning of the year. Going to wait and see what's happening here. But I will say the leash is incredibly short. If we see another 3, maybe 4 games at 12 minutes of ice time, and minimal shots, well, none yesterday, then I am going to say CMAX. I'll let someone else deal with that. And I'll grab some of the names that are lower on this list because we got some juicy ones coming up.
Speaking of lower on the list, I'm just going to name the next three guys. They are 27, 25, and 25% owned. You guys tell me which one you'd rather have. Deal. Arturi Lehkonen, 27% owned. Still not back, but is somebody that is expected to be back very soon. You would fully expect him to slot back into that top six in Colorado, which has been lethal this year. He was also on the top power play unit before getting hurt. So Lehkonen still hurt, but is coming back soon. He had 8 points in his first 12 games with the Avalanche. And the shot volume was really what was an impressive thing from Lehkonen, 2.8 shots per game prior to getting hurt. He was on pace for 232 shots, which would have been the first time he's been over 200 shots in his career, let alone 230. Next on the list is Gustav Nyquist. Nyquist picked up another point so far tonight, which gives him now 10 points in his last six games. But if you take that even further, back to the beginning of November, November 4th, 26 points in his last 29 games. Very quietly, just been absolutely outstanding for the Nashville Predators, and that top line has been super good all year. They have not been separated pretty much from the jump, and they all fully play together on the top power play unit as well. So Gustav Nyquist has been effective both at 5v5 and on the power play over that time. He has 15 even strength points, 10 power play points. So been really effective both at even strength and on the power play. Really think that Gustav Nyquist is a sneaky addition, which, you know, many people kind of thought that his career is probably, you know, on his trending in the wrong direction and bit of a questionable signing, kind of him and Ryan O'Reilly, people question those signings, and they fit terrifically with Philip Forsberg, and that line's been absolutely outstanding all season. And then last is Adam Fantilli since the beginning of December, 13 points, 7 goals, 6 assists in his last 15 games, 36 shots on goal over that time, so just over 2 shots per game, playing over 15 minutes a night, but most recently he's been playing even more since kind of around Christmas time. He's been averaging over 17 minutes a night. He's been kind of locked in on that line with Johnny Gaudreau. So I will say first and foremost that the one that I'm picking up is Gustav Nyquist. I actually scooped him in one of my leagues yesterday. I play him in DFS constantly, and I'm just like, you know, it's probably time to get this guy on my roster because he's producing on a nightly basis. So my pick would be Gustav Nyquist. Beeps, who would you go with first here? Lehkonen at 27% owned, left wing eligible. Gustav Nyquist, 25% owned, left wing eligible. Or Adam Fantilli, center eligible, 25% owned.
I will admit they're all incredibly good, and I hate to sound just like you, Brock, but I have to go Nyquist. I tweet often just what's happening kind of in like the latest in lower owned players, like 50% and under, and it's always Nyquist leading stats. Just like you said, it's like you expect it to slow down and it's not. It's almost like him and Ryan O'Reilly are just those sneaky guys who are going to be out there in leagues all year but put up a point per game. They're the classic, and Nashville loves them, so I love him. I think number two, I have to go Fantilli, just because we're seeing the kind of we've talked about it, a change in just the youth movement out in Columbus, and he's now on line one, like you mentioned. We still haven't seen him crack that top power play, but you got to feel his games away when he does.
As you're talking about him, he just picked up an assist, so he's hot.
He is hot. I thought you were going to say he just got on power play one, but if you put him on power play one, you can chuck up about 2 more minutes onto that 15, and then it looks a little bit better of that overall ice time, and I think Fantilli can get his shot up towards 3. Obviously, that's future things to come, but if you can get him now when he's doing what he's doing, it's a nice little safety net that you have there. So I like Fantilli too. And then obviously Lehkonen, I don't think that Nishushkin's coming off that top line. He's an absolute truck up there, scored his 20th goal of the season tonight. He's now tied with Nathan MacKinnon for the team lead out there. So Lehkonen, I think, going to be on second line likely, still probably worth a waiver, but I don't think that he has as much pull as these other guys. I love what these guys are doing. And I think if you can get almost a point per game out of these other two guys, you got to take that for sure over what might be from Lehkonen. D though, maybe you could switch this up a bit. Maybe not.
It's hard not to lead Fantilli. I just think he offers a little bit more upside than Nyquist. Yeah. You know, there's an easy path to imagine him to his hard production increasing, and that's just him getting more ice time. Never mind the fact that he's 19 years old and seems to just be getting better and feeling more confident and comfortable in every single game. But yeah, I don't think either is a bad pickup. I think if you're really just looking for short-term value and when the streaming schedule lines up accordingly, I think Nyquist is probably a better way to go, but I do think he's a little bit more a product of the situation he's in and the line mates that he's surrounded with, which we know, you know, as solid as that line has been and how consistent they've been in utilizing the three of them together all season long, Always a little bit more risky to really invest value. And I mean, we're picking them up either way, but it's a lot shakier that way, right? If he just randomly gets dropped down and maybe gets into Andrew Burnett's bad books for a couple of games and gets dropped down the lineup, all of his value is going to go out the window. Whereas Fantilli really seems to be driving his own value and only is just earning more and more ice time every single game. And I think the fact that he's 19 years old is the only reason that he's been limited to as many minutes as he has to this point. So I kind of expect Fantilli just to continue to eat more ice as the season goes along. He's already almost shooting three times a game. I think he's going to be a stud in this league for years to come. He may not quite get to that level before the end of the season, but I really think it's just going to come down to usage. So he's one that I guess I'm a little bit more excited about. And I think if, you know, it, like I said, if you're looking for just short-term value, someone that can help you out on a week-to-week basis over the next few weeks, then Nyquist probably makes a little bit more sense. But if you're maybe just kind of on the fringe of the playoffs in your league and you're questioning yourself, how am I really going to make a run towards the fantasy title in a few months, I think a guy like Fantilli could really explode in the second half if he gets the minutes that his play and his talent warrants.
Yeah, I guess the only thing I'm a little concerned about is the potential return of Boone Jenner, which is expected to be in the next week or two, and whether or not that has a drastic effect on Fantilli's ice time. Like, does Jenner automatically go back with Gaudreau? We shall see how that shakes out. But moving forward, Fantilli certainly looks good on that line with Gaudreau, and they've been putting up kind of better numbers each and every night. Like, they just are slowly improving, seem to be building chemistry together, and getting better and stronger as it progresses. Just to go back to the Avs here for a sec, currently it's Jonathan Drouin on that top line with McKinnon and Rantanen, and Nichushkin on that second line with Johansson. Miles Wood, Ross Colton, Logan O'Connor have been terrific. They've been split up lately just to try to kind of balance things out, but I would imagine they'll be back together on the third line, and Lehkonen will probably slot in on that second line with Johansson and Nichushkin most likely, because Drouin has looked pretty comfortable there on that top line recently. So it's going to be interesting. I do think that Johansson, Lehkonen, and Nichushkin have the ability to be pretty good as a trio, and I do think Lehkonen's got some juice. And if you're looking at your roster right now, you may have the ability to pick up not just one of these guys, but two, you know, maybe add Lehkonen first if you've got that room to stash him on the IR, IR plus, pick up a Raquel, a Mercer, a Norris, a Nyquist, and hopefully by then you can maybe have two of these guys, because yeah, I do like potential that Lehkonen carries when he returns to the lineup here. Okay, moving into deeper.
Also, I have to admit too, the bad alert got me. Nichushkin did not get the goal. It's now McKinnon. Sorry, go ahead there, Brock.
Yeah, well, of course it's McKinnon. That's all he does, man. He's been spinning on an absolute heater. They have been just going back and forth, him and Matthews, just both every single night, just putting up a ridiculous amount of points. Okay, moving on, below 10%, much lower owned players here, but some guys that have been putting up numbers, and I guess it's kind of come full circle for us here. We talked about Jonathan Drouin, about how we did not like this guy coming into the season because there's no shot volume, there's no scoring upside. He's turned things around, certainly. He's been much, much better as of late. It's not surprising that when you get put on a line with McKinnon and Rantanen that things could turn around, but we've actually seen, like, some shot volume from Jonathan Drouin. I don't know where this is coming from, but he's been really, really steady in the last couple of weeks, dating back to kind of the middle of December. He has picked up 10 points in his last 10 games, 3 goals, which is like more than he had in the last 3 years combined, 7 assists for 10 points in 10 games, 19 shots, so almost at 2 shots per game, and averaging over 20 minutes a night in his last couple games, which is just absolutely bonkers. So seems to be finding some confidence, seems to be playing a lot better, and obviously his line mates are just ridiculously good right now, and that doesn't hurt. And he's on the top power play unit. So I think in deeper leagues, Drouin is worth a flyer right now while he's on that line, because it is arguably one of the hottest lines in the NHL. I shouldn't say arguably. It is one of the hottest lines in the NHL.
Not even deeper hottest leagues either. Like a 10-team yes league, no, if you're on the fringe for a pickup and Colorado's playing, but I mean,
he would still be well down the list for me in terms of the guys that we've talked about here. Like, I'd still rather Raquel.
This is a juicy list. Oh, for sure, Raquel.
Like, so I do think it's a little bit of a deeper pickup, but the other names are Alex Kerfoot, who's been really, you know, I honestly would have never guessed that we would talk about Alex Kerfoot on a fantasy podcast ever again. I thought that those days were long gone. Those days like never really were here, right? Like, he was like a 40-point player every single season, but he's landed on this top line in Arizona that had struggled without Barrett Hayton, and he's kind of rejuvenated that line, and he's played pretty well as of late. 8 points in his last seven games, averaging two shots per game, playing 19 and a half minutes, top power play unit as well. He's been quite good. And then the last name on the list is Morgan Geekie at 6% owned in Boston. He's picked up, I believe, another goal and an assist tonight. I don't know if either one of you want to double check that I'm correct on that. I know he scored. I think he's got an assist as well. And then coming into tonight, he'd been playing pretty well, kind of mixing in on that top line on and off, mixing in on the top power play unit on and off. He had 11 points in his last 17 games coming into this evening. 39 shots on goal, pretty solid shot volume there as well. Was definitely a player. A goal and two assists. So he's just on a heater right now as well. So
that game is 5-5.
5-5 now? Oh, man, I bet on Pittsburgh, and I saw it was 5-3, and I was very excited about that. It really hurts one of the goalies we're about to talk about here on the show in a few minutes. But, okay, of this list, I'll start with you, D, because I feel like I know where you're going here. And let me know. Let's see if I'm right. Who would you rather have, Kerfoot, Drouin, or Geekie moving forward?
I would go Geekie. I just think there's more long-term potential here to stay in the spot that he's at. I mean, it's not hard to click alongside David Pastrnak, but his game really has just gotten to a next level. And it's a bit of more of an unproven asset, whereas Kerfoot and Drouin, to your point, kind of feels like we've been down this road before. I don't want to scoff at what Kerfoot's done, though. 17 points in his last 16 games. Like, it goes back even further than you alluded to, Brock. And he's seen first-time power – or time with the first power play unit as well. And it's just been super, super productive. And in Kerfoot's defense, he's never really ever gotten a run like this where he's just getting 20 minutes a night alongside his team's best players. And always seems to be a guy that, you know, is better off the puck and creating chances for others than actually capitalizing on chances himself. So I think playing with two players like Nick Schmaltz and Clayton Keller is kind of a perfect fit for him. But, you know, to your point, we don't know how that lineup is going to shake out when Barrett Hayton comes back. He did have a setback in his recovery. I think he's expected back after the Coyotes bye week now, which is around the middle of February. So at this point, there's no reason to expect Kerfoot to, you know, leave that line for another month or so, but expecting some sort of shakeup once Hayton is returned. Where, yeah, Geekie, it's like they've kind of just been searching for an answer down the middle of the ice to play alongside Pastrnak all season long. And the more time he gets there, the more at home he looks. His shot volume's gone up in recent games as well. And I just like betting on kind of the unproven asset that's really never got this sort of extended look alongside a premier player, even more so than Kerfoot. And, you know, the minutes wise as well, like, we've never seen Geekie get more than 12 minutes in a season. So for him to be, you know, getting top line, top power play minutes alongside one of the very best players in the league and David Pastrnak, and looking as good as he is, it's really grabbing my attention. And I think in all formats, he's a guy that you need to keep your eye on. So he'd be the one pick for me. Drouin, I think it's great what he's been doing lately, but we just talked about Lehkonen coming back. And we've seen his ice time fluctuate a lot, even with the injuries that they've had. So, you know, it's a cool little story, him kind of igniting some production, skating alongside MacKinnon and Rantanen, but I have my doubts about that kind of continuing in the interim, especially once they get a little bit healthier. So Geekie would be the one to me that I'm most drawn to, and just, in, you know, kind of in terms of just the unknown. We don't know how high and how far he can take this. So he's one that I'm definitely keen to get on my roster right now.
I thought for sure it was Kerfoot, former Leaf, plus he plays for your Coyotes. That you just love those Coyotes. I thought maybe he'd fit. I would pick Geekie too, and I think the reason – I've always thought that Geekie had a lot of potential, right? Like, he always played in that bottom six in Carolina and seemed to be just, like, kind of there picking up points, kind of like how Jack Drury does now. In Seattle, he looked like somebody that could be pretty solid and then kind of kept falling down to the fourth line. He's finally getting this run. This kid that put up big points in the WHL – really good numbers in the AHL as well before turning into an NHL. He's a good hockey player, and he's only 25 years old. And I do think that he can settle into this role, like you said, D, and playing alongside David Pastrnak, who's a bona fide superstar, certainly makes things a lot easier. Are you going to make it a trifecta for Morgan Geekie?
Yeah. You know what? I love Jonathan Drouin. I love what's happening there. It's great to see it click. But no, Geekie is the clear and obvious answer here. I'm actually, like, mind blown that he's this low owned, because you'd think that there'd be some people who would have jumped on this a couple weeks ago, and we kind of saw the trend turning that way. D is a cousin. He's very ahead of a lot of stuff, and he told us he jumped on it right away. And I was like, damn, okay, there you go. And I figured there would have been a lot of people like that. But no. Another thing that's just beautiful about Morgan Geekie is the shot totals. 39 shots in his last 17 games before this one. That's the type of production that, you know, we expect from someone who's like 40, 50% owned. So to get that, D nailed it on the head. They have found their center. It looks like found their center. I love Pavel Zacha coming into this year. Obviously he's now his winger on the left wing. But the reason I love Zacha is because he was supposed to be the centerman to Pasternak. And now that we found the centerman, all the things that applied earlier this year to Zacha now apply to Geeky. So I got Geeky first, Drouin second. Drouin, while he's there, I love it. I think it's great, but you guys hit it on the head. Things change at Colorado a lot. And also 2-3 cold games from Drouin could lead to him back down that lineup. And we saw how bad that gets. It gets pretty bad. But one thing that is noticeable is he has his confidence back. I mentioned it a few shows back when we were doing very, very low, and I believe I suggested him. And I said, one of Colorado's beat reporters came out and did mention, you know, this kid's kind of just has a pep in his step again, and it's showing on the score sheet. This is what we know he's capable of. So certainly good to use for now, but certainly something to keep an eye on and keep your eye on daily faceoff for the lines with him. And then, yeah, like you said, Kerfoot, great story. Maybe toss him in there, but just too many what ifs when people start coming back to that lineup for me to jump on that. But Morgan Geeky, 3-for-3. Good for him. You'll love to see it. Actually, yeah, all pickups like across the board here, not to pump tires, are like quite solid for being mid year. You'd think that the own percentages would have more came around, but no.
Yeah, well, that's kind of why we decided to do this show, is we were looking at the waiver wire and just like, man, there's some good names that can be picked up, and it's like these guys can turn into big, you know, mid-season additions without a doubt. Okay, we've got some defensemen to talk about here, and we'll talk about Brock Faber first. It's a pretty obvious one. All of a sudden, Jared Spurgeon lands back on IR, and Brock Faber looks like a guy that's probably going to be out here playing 30 minutes a night again. It was ridiculous when he was just out there playing a ridiculous amount before, and it looks like that's just what's going to happen. Jonas Brodin has started skating again, which will eventually cut into Faber's ice time. But in the short term, Brock Faber, he's not just, you know, he maybe doesn't have the most offensive upside, but when he's playing 30 minutes a night on that top power play unit as well, he's just going to naturally pick up points without question.
He's got to break out of the zone. Like, just start a breakout. If you're on the ice 32 minutes, you're going to start half the breakouts of the game. You're going to get an apple here and there.
Yeah, like in the last month, 15 games, he's a goal and 7 assists, 8 points. He's averaged 26 minutes and 45 seconds over that span, which is just bonkers. And with Spurgeon landing back on IR, he's just going to be playing a ridiculous amount of ice time. A couple other defensemen, I think Thomas Harley's worth a mention. He's playing a lot more. Went on a heater. Like, the heater obviously isn't going to continue, but he's playing a lot more. He is seeing PP2 time. It's not a ton, but it's better than seeing no power play time at all. And he's consistently seeing over 20 minutes a night right now, which is great. On the season, 17 points in 33 games. And Thomas Harley is a kid that was, just an absolute stud in the OHL. He was drafted 18th overall. He had back-to-back 50-point seasons from the back end in Mississauga, and was a player that was very highly touted, very highly offensive, very good numbers in the AHL as well. Like, he is an offensive defenseman. He's obviously trapped behind Miro Heiskanen, and he's never going to be a bona fide fancy stud. But if you're somebody who maybe lost a Zach Werenski or something recently and needs some help on the blue line, I do think Harley can help in that role at 24% owned, same as Faber. The other name is Rasmus Sandin. Again, another guy that's on PP2, never really going to scratch the top unit so long as John Carlson is healthy. But Sandin's actually been pretty solid as of late. You know, maybe that second power play gets a little bit better now with the addition of Max Pacioretty. Ovechkin's still always out there as well. And he's been, you know, playing a ton, which is all you can really ask for. 6 assists in his last 13 games, playing over 20 minutes a night. You're just looking for assists basically out of this guy, some power play points here and there. I'd prefer the other two names, but I don't think that Rasmus Sandin is too terrible of a mention if you're in desperate need of defensemen. Do you guys have any order? I think it's pretty safe to assume you guys would probably go Faber, Harley, Sandin. D?
Yeah. You can't argue that. And, you know, you went through all the reasons why he's getting all the minutes, not just at 5v5, but on the power play as well. That power play obviously loses a lot of upside with the injuries that they've had, Kaprizov in particular. But he should just continue to eat ice. And he's been a killer in DFS for that reason as well. He's racking up those miscellaneous stats. So if you're in leagues that reward hits and particularly block shots, Faber should continue to give you a nice, healthy return on those as well. So for me, Faber's the clear-cut number one here. I think even Once Spurgeon and Brodin get healthy, like there's no obvious number one to quarterback that power play. So I think if he continues to take advantage of the opportunity in front of him, he could potentially run away with that job as well. He's playing a ton of minutes even when they were all healthy. So for me, he's the one to go with. But I think you're right. If you're in deeper leagues or just in really desperate need of help on the back end, and you don't just want to roll an empty D spot like we've talked about doing in the past, and I think Harley or Sandine could be appropriate options as well.
Yeah, honestly, I kind of want to give the shout out to Thomas Harley. The guy is one goal away from leading all defensemen in the NHL in goals this year, which is pretty insane. But just a quick shout out. He did that while averaging currently 18.43 ice. And Brock mentioned it. He's popped over 20 in his last couple games. So if he can, you know, be third in the NHL in defenseman scoring with three less minutes than what he's averaging now, it's just a really hope for potential more goals there. But if you want points, if you want miscellaneous stats, go Faber. But huge shout out to Harley. If we're talking at the end of the year about this guy being top 10 in defenseman goal scoring, that'd be a huge who would have thought. Good for him at 22 years old. Definitely a dynasty scoop. I was a Harley doubter, but he's proved me wrong, and it's good to see him get more ice and some power play time. So
you're a Harley rider.
I'm an absolute Harley rider. No helmet, boys.
His shot volume was pretty reliable as well. I mean, his last looks like 6-7 games, two shots on goal in each one of those games. He's averaging over two shots per game, dating back to, you know, in the last month. And yeah, averaging over 20 minutes per game during that time. All right, let's talk about some goalies. We're going to rip through them quickly because I think as you get down the own percentage, it obviously gets worse. But I do think that for this point in the season, there are goalies kind of separating themselves as options. There's a lot of guys that were kind of in backup roles or perceived backup roles that are starting to eat into the starters' workloads a little bit more and can be relied upon as a third, fourth fantasy option if you are in need of goaltending help. So we'll start a little bit higher on Joey Decord for the Seattle Kraken. We obviously saw him post the first shutout in Winter Classic history, and he's just been absolutely terrific since Philip Grubauer went out. On the season, he has a 235 goals against average and a 919 save percentage. Two shutouts on the year as well. I think really is what we've seen here is that Joey Decord is doing what we thought that Philip Grubauer would be able to do, right? Playing behind such a good offensive team. He's currently on a four-game winning streak. During that time, he's posted a 971 save percentage, which is absolutely ridiculous. But just dating back to the beginning of December, he's 6-2-3 with a 946 save percentage. He's just been absolutely outstanding. And at 65% owned, he can certainly help you out, even if you have to be, you know, moderately choosy with your matchups. And they don't really seem to be that interested in rolling with Chris Driedger. Like, Joey Decord is their bona fide number one guy right now, and I don't think that they're really going to be going away from him anytime soon. Speaking of number one goalie, Martin Jones has all of a sudden become a number one goalie in the NHL again. Ilya Samsonov has struggled mightily, ended up on waivers. Yes, ended up on waivers. He's now in the AHL. And Martin Jones is the guy in Toronto. So much so that he started back-to-back nights in Los Angeles and in Anaheim. And what did he do? Well, he stopped 58 of 59 shots in those games. Back-to-back wins. He has been simply fantastic for the Toronto Maple Leafs after literally being horrendous for about a five-year span. From 2019 to 2023, his save percentages were 896, 896, 896, 900, and 886. Ooh. He was just absolutely putrid. That's an 895 save percentage over a 220-game sample. Into Toronto, he's 6-3 with a 220 goals average and 930 save percentage with two shutouts already. So this is a team that was in desperate need of goaltending. He has somehow turned back the clock and solidified things. Those two guys are much higher owned than the remainder of the guys we're going to talk about. So if you're in a league where they're both available, you're going to have to make a decision between the two. D, you're a Leafs fan. Do you side with Martin Jones, or do you feel a little bit more comfortable going with a more reliable defensive team in Joey Decord, or would you rather have maybe a little bit more goal scoring support in Martin Jones?
I think it just depends really what you need. Like, if it's an injury you're dealing with, because we have had some goalies go down lately, then I think, you know, maybe Jones makes a little bit more sense, will probably provide more value in the short term. But I do expect Joseph Woll to at the very least come back and split starts with Martin Jones once he is healthy, if not outright take the job back. I don't think they really envision Jones being the long-term answer there. I think they're more or less just riding the hot hand here and are really grateful they're getting some sort of formidable goaltending in Wohl's absence, because obviously they weren't getting it anywhere else. Was super disappointed that we didn't get to see the 6'8" Hildebeest last night, but hopefully that time comes before too long. So yeah, I think, like I said, it really just depends what you're looking for. If you've just been struggling for goaltending all season, then I think Joey Decord makes a lot more sense, just because, to your point, like, even once Grubauer comes back, it's hard to imagine them going away from Decord at this point. We've gotten, what, 2.5 seasons of Grubauer struggles in Seattle at this point, and Decord has just looked nothing but spectacular since he's come in Grubauer's absence. So I don't see how you go away from Decord as the number one netminder. It's really not, you know, Grubauer losing the job to injury. It was Decord getting the opportunity due to injury, but Grubauer, like I said, has been struggling for the last couple of years. And we even saw Martin Jones, even with his below average splits, become pretty fantasy relevant because he was getting starts and getting good goal support there and picking up a lot of wins in Seattle last season. So, like I said, I think if you're just looking for long-term help and you've been struggling in goal all season, Joey Decord makes more sense. If you're really just looking to replace one of the injured starting netminders that are out there right now, then I do think Martin Jones will produce more value in the short term. I just expect and hope, as a Maple Leafs fan, that he can give you more wins so long as he is the bona fide number one starter.
Yeah, D absolutely nailed it, because one of them has a guy coming back with an .884 save percentage, and one of them has a guy coming back with a .916 save percentage. And Jones is the one with the .916, and that's Wohl's coming back. And yeah, I think, you know, there's always value in being a Leafs netminder. And that's where that one ends. We saw kind of the changing of guard happening even before Grubauer's injury. Decord was stealing starts, even when Decord was playing average per se, you know, not shooting a .950 or .940 in the month, he was still getting basically 50% splits with Grubauer, and that's how bad Grubauer was. They're loving the energy from Decord. They struggled out of the bat in Seattle very, very hard. And now they look quite good now that they have a goalie. So things are looking up, and I think that they're going to continue to ride this. So I think that Joey Decord is a fantasy goaltender or a fantasy saver for some teams this year in goal. If you're facing injuries, if you really need help, it's someone who I can't believe I'm this excited about, but he's playing phenomenal. And we've just been waiting for any serviceable goaltender to take advantage of those phenomenal defensive numbers in Seattle. So thank you, Joey D. And I felt pretty bad because Vegas tweeted out after that game, that Winter Classic game, they said we had all these cool goal visuals ready, but they didn't get to show any off. So goddamn, thank you, Joey Decord, for not having us see any of those. But yeah, no, he's definitely my choice here across the board on all goalies.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said, too, for what he did last year, right? He led an AHL run to the AHL Calder Cup final and probably, you know, I started 26 games during that playoff run. Yeah, obviously something like that can go a long way in building some confidence and making you a better goalie, right? You went through the grind. You went through that playoff run, and he was the guy. Now he got kind of a taste of what that was like, and now he is the guy. In Seattle right now. So yeah, I lean Decord as well over Martin Jones. I don't think it's that big of a surprise, but I do think Martin Jones might be a little bit of a better option in points leagues, right? He's probably going to face a little bit more shot volume, might be able to rack up a few more points in the short term than Joey Decord. But in the next goalie here, probably a tier of his own, just because he is like a number one starter as well. We probably could have included him with Joey Decord and Alex Lyon, but Martin Jones. But Alex Lyon of the Detroit Red Wings, 33% owned. He's been really good, right? He's the guy that literally scraped the Panthers to the playoffs last year. So this is not really shocking to see him playing well for the Detroit Red Wings this year. 253 goals against average, .917 save percentage, and 10 starts. Been a little bit worse his last couple of outings, but for the season he's been the Red Wings' most reliable netminder, with Ville Husso out long term and James Reimer looking absolutely awful. This is Alex Lyon and Alex Lyon alone in Detroit at the moment. He's going to continue to get basically every single start for them. So he's in a similar tier as Decord and Jones, but I think you guys would both have him third on that list just because of the team quality. The Red Wings have really struggled as of late, particularly defensively. They might be able to offer him a decent amount of goal support, but defensively they're not, you know, in the same realm as Seattle, and they're obviously not going to score as many goals as Toronto moving forward, I don't think. So would you guys agree that you would have Alex Lyon third here, or would you maybe bump him ahead of Jones because he might be able to hold on to the job longer?
If it was three starts ago, I might have that conversation. Just the last three starts, he hasn't pushed above a 900 save percentage. It's really kind of affected his stats in general, because let's just face it, he doesn't have a ton to go off 10 games this year. I do think Detroit, you got to think Villahuso is going to get some starts when he's back here. So I think I'm still going to go Jones, definitely, just because even when Wall is there, he got hurt. You're still going to have to play your other goalie. And when Jones does start, I think that's a pretty much must play in your lineup, just with the team in front of him. If you're going for wins, at least. So I got to go Jones still, but I think line deserves a shout out. Good for him. I'm expecting him to get 60% maybe starts going forward, but we've seen it with other goalies in Detroit. Like, this is the third or fourth time we talked about this guy's the starter in Detroit now. And it's gone bad a couple other times. So Lion is scaring me lately, so that's also why I'm here. But no, he definitely is good. If
you don't like the Detroit Lion,
I not the Lion. I love the Lions, though. I will say that.
You only like them in the plural version, not the singular.
Yeah,
version.
Absolutely.
He'd be third on your list.
Yes. Sorry, I was muted.
It's all good. Yes. That's okay. Okay, Lion.
He's certainly a step ahead of the goalies too that we talk about going forward. I will say that in Lion's defense, as much as I just pounced on him, I will say he deserves
Lion's defense and pounced. Nice. I don't know if you meant to do either one of those, but okay. Yeah, these guys are all backups, but they're certainly starting to eat into the starter's workload. Samuel Erfson from the Philadelphia Flyers, Alex Nedeljkovic from the Pittsburgh Penguins, and Nico Daws of the New Jersey Devils. Erfson's been really good. There was that little stretch where Carter Hart just couldn't play because he was sick, and then it looked like he was back, and then he was still sick, and then it looked like he was back, and then he was still sick, and then it looked like he was back, and then he was still sick, and it was just like, okay, Erfson, you're the guy right now. He had an absolutely horrendous start to the season, but since he allowed 5, 7, and 2 goals and then was pulled in his first three games. Since then, he has been absolutely terrific. The numbers will okay. He has a 9.26 save percentage. He's 9-3-1 in his last 13 starts. So you can see why he's starting to eat into Carter Hart's workload a little bit, and he's been just super, super good. You expect it to be Hart, and then Erfson starts, and he's been nothing but a spectacular streaming target pretty much all season. And the Flyers have been very, very reliable defensively. They have one of the best penalty kills in the league, and I think that they can continue to provide strong defense in front of Sam Erfson. And if you need, desperate for goalie help in deeper leagues, Erfson is definitely somebody that I think can, at least get you one start a week right now and maybe more moving forward. Alex Nedeljkovic kind of in the same boat. Tristan Jarry has been kind of hot and cold, which isn't surprising if you watched Tristan Jarry over the last every year.
Classic
Tristan. Nedeljkovic has been a lot better than he was in Detroit, but he's also had some blow-up games. He's given up 5 already tonight against the Boston Bruins, so he hasn't done exactly what's probably necessary to lock down a heavy workload in Pittsburgh, but he seems to be getting at least one start a week right now as well, and he's been fairly reliable for me. I would lean towards Erfson more than Nedeljkovic. And then Nico Daws is probably the most intriguing name on the list, because the New Jersey Devils, much like the Toronto Maple Leafs, have kind of just been searching for a guy to take the run in the crease here, and we saw Nico Daws was like the guy 2 years ago, and they literally started him every single night. It just did not matter. They ran the poor kid into the ground. Then he just never returned to the NHL for a whole year, and now he's back with Schmidt in the AHL. I don't know what their thought process is here with Nico Daws, but he's looked pretty good in his first two starts. He's won both of them since returning. Really good AHL numbers so far this year as well. So Nico Daws is, of the three of these guys, probably the one that is the most likely to take the number one job. I still think that Vanacek's probably going to see about 50% of the starts, but Erfson might see 40, Nedeljkovic might see 35%. At least Daws might be able to carve out a 50-50 split, and he could carve out a larger role, if we're being honest. Vanacek hasn't done a whole lot to inspire confidence. And what we've seen from Daws so far has been great. The Devils are a very good hockey team. Having their goaltender, off the waiver wire could be very, very helpful. I picked up Akira Schmid 100 times this year, hoping, okay, he's going to go on the run that we saw him go on last year. It never materialized. D, where do you sit here? Sam Erfson, Alex Nedeljkovic, Nico Daws.
I go Daws 100%. I actually like him more than Lyon at this point, just because I love taking the gamble on the upside that starting job could offer you. as a fantasy net miner, kind of like you alluded to already, Brock. So yeah, I did drop Lion for Dawes in a redraft league just last week, just because, you know, to Biebs's point, I mean, they ran a three-headed monster in Detroit when all guys were healthy for a while there. So I really don't know how much we can expect in terms of workload for Lion to really get. Whereas Dawes, like, yeah, in the meantime, it's going to be a split. But if in, you know, obviously we're early days here. We could be talking, or this could be the very last time all season that we talk about Nico Dawes. But if it keeps going the way that it's going and he keeps delivering above average goaltending and they keep getting, you know, bottom five goaltending in terms of save percentage out of Vanacek and Schmid, whoever else is going to be up there with him, then I really don't see why they wouldn't just keep leaning on Dawes. To your point, it's a guy that handled a really heavy workload a couple of years ago. So it's not like you're really worried about, you know, giving this young goaltender too many games. So he just came off offseason hip surgery, which might explain some of the struggles he's kind of been experiencing over the last year and a half. Has been, you know, in all accounts, has looked really good and feels really good. Feels as good as he ever has, if you want to buy into that, sort of speak, following that surgery. So yeah, it's, again, we're talking a really small sample size, but when it comes to fantasy, sometimes you got to jump on those small sample sizes and just hope that they hold true over the long term, because if it does, then I think we definitely could be talking about the Devils future number one netminder. And to your point, Brock, very good team. I always talk about how a goaltender in fantasy is 90% team stats. So if you can get a guy that's going to be starting the majority of their games and maybe deliver some above average splits, he could be a real steal off the wire. So he's actually with the third favorite name that we're going to talk about here, after Decord and Jones. And I think really, if you're really desperate for some long-term help, I think he could be a better fit on your team than even Martin Jones.
D, you're just nailing it for me today. Absolutely spot on. Nico Dawes is, this is very exciting. Before the show we were talking, I said that his own percentage has dropped 3% since lunch today. And, said it's probably just because of the spot start, but also I thought it would kind of get pushed just because there is so much potential here to steal just what is such a cushy job. New Jersey is sixth in the NHL right now in goals. They're averaging 3.5 a game. They're also have the best power play in the league. Pretty good. They're also eighth in the league in shots against. So when you put two top 10 stats in categories that really help goaltenders as a whole, we have Alexander Georgiev leading the league in wins right now with an 896 save percentage. So if he gives them a 900, that's going to be a lot better than the 883 they're getting out of Vitek Vanacek, which is, by the way, the third worst save percentage out of the goalies that count. So I believe it's like five starts or something, or five appearances. But yeah, no, it's Dawes is incredibly exciting here. This could be a season turner. As much as I was excited about Joey Decord saying, hey, he could be a starter. Like D said, you have to jump on these things, especially with goalies. We've watched other goalies just go from, you know, mid-30s, mid-40s earlier in the year to now almost 80. I'm trying to think of one, for example. But we have seen a few just jump as they pick up the wins, as they see more starts. And if we see that from Dawes, as much as we might not be talking about him next week, in 1 week, we could also be talking about him being 50% owned if we do see him go again tomorrow as they play, which would just be a huge statement if he goes three games back to back to back. But no, yeah, I'm really excited about Dawes here. Would have loved Nedeljkovic to do something nice today. But Samuel Ursa, just quick shout out. We mentioned it. Carter Hart does not look like himself as much. I mean, he's playing, but we're seeing him miss games to illness. We're seeing random sit outs, random call ups of Felix Sandstrom. So it's and Urson's holding it down. So yeah, I when he is going, I surprisingly like it. And I never thought I'd say that about the Flyers. But yeah, Nico Dawes, my number three goalie on here. If we're picking up for the next month, if we're picking up for the whole year, I gotta think he's my number two. Just off the small chance that he is the starter in New Jersey, which is probably one of the best jobs you can have. So
yeah, I would agree with you guys. If I was picking up for the rest of the year, it'd be Decor, Dawes, Jones. If I'm picking up short term, Jones might have a little bit more value. I just went to our big money league that me and D play in, and he's got Joey Decor and Nico Dawes rocking on that squad. So he's feeling pretty good about hopefully both of those guys moving forward.
Am I?
Yeah, hopefully you're feeling pretty good, because at least you got Andre Vasilevsky posting like an 895 save percentage for you there as well. But you got him off the waiver wire somehow, so it's not that big of a loss. But
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right, let's get quickly to the Betway bets for today, and then we will go to D's Streamers for the weekend as well. So don't forget, Betway is the sponsor of the show. If you're going to place a bet, bet on Betway. 19 must be 19 years older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Pretty ugly three-game slate on Friday. You've got Carolina and Washington. You've got Chicago and New Jersey. And you've got Winnipeg, Anaheim. So you've got three pretty sizable favorites, which, you know, if you don't feel like spending big money, it's kind of hard to win big money betting on big favorites. I will say that Carolina -170 isn't too stretched out for me. I would be happy to take Carolina there. They're just absolutely dominant. The Washington Capitals, we kind of know who they are. They've either been really solid offensively and horrible defensively. Then it seemed like they sacrificed offense for defense. Then they couldn't score. The power play still ass. Carolina's on an absolute heater. So I am fine with Carolina -170. Outside of that, it does get a little bit dicey. Even the New Jersey Devils, the spread tomorrow is -2.5, which is just goes to show how big of favorites they are against the Blackhawks. But I don't hate it at +110, considering the Blackhawks are on a back-to-back. We're probably going to see Arvid Soderblom tomorrow, and this Blackhawks team is just absolutely decimated by injuries. Like, every day, they just lose a new forward, and it's not their just bottom six forwards. Like, they're literally just losing everybody. Seth Jones has been out long-term. They have no Andreas Athanasiou, no Taylor Hall, no Taylor Radish, no Tyler Johnson, no Anthony Beauvillier. They've lost everybody. So as crazy as it is to take -2.5 in an NHL game, I do think this Devils team's looking to get rolling. And it might not be the craziest thing, because this Blackhawks team on a back-to-back is just an absolute nightmare. So anyways, those were the Betway bets of the day. Let's turn it over to D for D's Weekend Streamers.
All righty then. So pulling up this weekend schedule, we're getting back to some normality here. We got just three games on Friday, 12 on Saturday, and then four games on Sunday. So obviously the teams playing Friday, Sunday is who we're going to look to target in terms of skaters. And then surprisingly, just one team going back-to-back Saturday, Sunday. So we do have one Sunday savior and goal to go over at the end here. But we're going to start it off here looking at the skaters going Friday and Sunday. First team is the Ducks. Anaheim is hosting Winnipeg on Friday before they host the Red Wings on Sunday. So a couple of decent matchups there, considering they are the Anaheim Ducks. We'll start it off with some high owned percentages here. Really just two names you want to look at. The Ducks are pretty banged up right now. So maybe some of the other names that might normally be available on the wire aren't necessarily going to be there. But Trevor Zegras still just 46% owned. So in shallower leagues, Zegras definitely worth a punt this weekend. First line, first power play unit, of course. Just one goal, two assists since returning in those five games. But he does that, but he does have 13 shots on goal. We know the upside that Zegras can possess. So if you're looking to steal some categories this weekend, you want to shoot for the moon. Obviously, Trevor Zegras can be a strong play in those shallower leagues. Other than that, we got Alex Killorn. Really, only other name I want to mention here. He's got left wing, right wing eligibility. He's just 21% owned. first line and first power play unit as well, alongside Zegras. He's got 1 goal, 5 assists, 16 shots on goal in his last 8 games. So a bit of a heater relative to the career of Alex Killorn. So a couple of names there to consider out of Anaheim. And then we go to Chicago, to Asbrock said. I mean, we don't have a lot to choose with, even if they were fully healthy. And it certainly stays that way now with how banged up they are. But it has opened up a ton of minutes for Filip Kurashev. Straight center eligibility, just 3% owned. And he's Swiss. You know we love that on the pod. First line, first power play unit alongside the lone hope in Chicago, Connor Bedard. And Kurashev's looked pretty good of late, taking advantage of that extra ice time. 1 goal, 4 assists in his last 5 games, 10 shots on goal, while averaging just under 19 minutes a night. So obviously with those matchups in New Jersey versus the Flames, and the fact that they're just the Blackhawks, plus minus is going to be an issue here. So just keep that in mind. But I think in deep leagues, Kurashev could be worth a punt this weekend. And then moving on to the third of the four teams on the Friday-Sunday schedule this weekend, we got the Washington Capitals hosting Carolina on Friday before they host the Kings on Sunday. Max Pacioretty, who we talked about earlier, 34% owned, at least as of this afternoon. He was just 11 minutes of ice time in his debut on Wednesday. I do expect him to move up the Capitals lineup sooner than later, so maybe we see that this weekend. A couple of tough matchups, though, this weekend, and it needs to be said. But Dylan Strome, otherwise, 30% owned, straight center eligible. He's cooled off a bit of late, just 2 points in his last 6 games, but his usage still makes him a viable option for me this weekend. He's skating alongside Pacioretty at 5v5 and Matthew Phillips, but obviously that's not as sexy of a name to drop here. But Strome also featured on the Capitals' top power play unit, so one to keep in mind. Again, Kuznetsov, yep, he's still playing in the NHL. He's having a season to forget, though. He's recently moved up to center Ovechkin and Tom Wilson on the Capitals' first line, so that's something to take note of. Also skating with the first power play unit, averaging over 20 minutes of ice time in his last 3 games with 7 shots on goal over that span. So been a nice little mini stretch here for Kuznetsov, culminating in a 2-point performance against the Devils on Wednesday. So certainly could be a viable option this weekend if those short-term trends hold up over the weekend. And then we got Anthony Mantha, 7% owned for a while there. He's one of the hottest players in the league, at least in terms of the guys getting bottom 6 minutes. So the usage still leaves a lot to be desired, but the run he's on, been a little too good to ignore. 4 goals, 3 assists, 22 shots on goal in his last 8 games, all while playing just 14 and a half minutes a night. So hopefully that strong play warrants him some additional minutes and some time at the first power play unit this weekend. That hasn't happened as of yet. So for the time being, you know, he's limited to second line, second power play unit usage, but still makes for a worthy streaming candidate in deeper leagues this weekend, considering how often he's getting that puck on net. And then finally, we've got the Jets, who probably have the most friendly schedule this weekend in terms of streaming. They are in Anaheim on Friday before traveling to the Mullet to play the Coyotes on Sunday. Nino Niederreiter, old friend of the show, right wing eligible, 28% owned, limited to a third line role, second power play unit usage, but just been firing the puck like crazy. That's what Nino does. Nino do what Nino does. 17 shots on goal in his last 5 games, 4 goals over that stretch. Not the highest ceiling given the minutes, but a decent bet to add to your goal totals this weekend. And for leagues that reward shots on goal, he can be a really cheap source there as well. So keep that in mind. And then the only other sub 50% name I want to mention here is Cole Perfetti, Ryan Hartman's picking boy, center left wing eligible, 22% owns, got some stitches, but he's still playing hockey right now, continues to fire the puck at an alarming rate, despite some limited ice time. A guy that you should still be keeping an eye on in dynasty leagues just in general, but for this weekend, currently skating on the Jets' second line and second power play unit, 19 shots on goal in his last 6 games. He's been unfortunate not to score on any of those 19 shots, but has picked up 4 assists over that stretch. So a guy that I would say is due to find the back of the net this weekend, Cole Perfetti. And then moving in goal, like I said, just one team playing Saturday, Sunday this weekend. So if you're looking for a spot start on goal and, you know, you don't want it to be Arvid Soderbaum of the Blackhawks, the only name out there could very well be Dan Vladar, who's starting tonight and I think is winning as of right now. I think they're up 4-2 against the Predators. Got a surprise start tonight, but that all but guarantees that Jacob Markstrom will be back in net on Saturday in Philadelphia, which should leave Vladar to take on the Blackhawks on Sunday. Ooh, what a juicy matchup that will be. Brock just talked about how big of favorites the Devils will be. Don't expect a line of 2.5 goals for Calgary on Sunday, but they will be heavy, heavy favorites. I would expect something around minus 300 on the money line. Vladar has not been outstanding this season, but he has looked pretty good his last couple of starts, finally getting back in goal after Markstrom returned from that fractured finger. And yeah, looks pretty good so far tonight. Getting an absolute dream matchup on Sunday. So if you can get ahead of it on Saturday, find some room on your roster for Vladar. You know his own percentage is going to shoot up at least 10% on Sunday when the Flames travel to Chicago. So look to get ahead of that one because, yeah, he might be the only viable option out there. Otherwise, you're just going to be throwing out punts and prayers on guys like Arvid Soderblom. So those are our streams this weekend. Hopefully you can pick up a couple of those names and they can make the difference in your matchups, or at least give yourself a bit of a fighting chance, or maybe an extended category leagues, give you a chance to crawl back a category or two and limit the damage.
Yeah. If you decided to pick up Vladar tonight, you might have two starts out of him this week, which would be a little bit surprising. I think the only other names I would throw out there, John Gibson at 45% owned, might be a little bit more difficult to pick up. Could be Lukas Dostal, but they've got the Red Wings on Sunday. Dostal
obviously was Dostal. Yeah.
Like, you'd think maybe Gibson goes to more against the Jets unless they want to reward Dostal with another start. But after making 55 saves last night, I doubt they want to start him again. So maybe get Gibson tomorrow and Dostal Sunday against the Red Wings. Not a terrible matchup at 7% owned. He'd be pretty widely available as well. But that's going to do it for Season 9, Episode 26 of the DFO Fantasy Podcast, presented to you by Betway. I'm your host, Brock Segan. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. We've got Dylan D. Burton and Michael Bisbondi with us. See you guys back here next week.
A lot of names out there. Go scoop them up.
Peace.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.